Just a few weeks after I got my license when I was in high school, I think it was after a basketball game, some friends and I decided to meet at Friendly's for a post-game snack. And so I went home, I dropped off my basketball stuff, I told my parents where I was going, and I just left. And, you know, I'd been there before. I'd eaten there before. I'd driven by it many times. I could picture exactly where it was on the corner of these two streets. But I realized pretty soon afterwards, I didn't exactly know where I was going. I'd been there before, and so I figured I could just kind of feel my way or use my intuition to figure out where I was going. And while there are some people who seem to have this built-in GPS device in their minds or compass, I'm not one of those persons. I need some directions. I need to know where I'm going. I can't just feel my way there. I wish I could tell you that I learned from my mistake, but there have been many times since then that I've left the house assuming that I know where I'm going, only to realize that I probably should have looked at a map beforehand. I think that there are a lot of people, I think it's popular today, for people to want to embark on their spiritual journeys in much the same way I embarked on my journey to Friendly's. We kind of feel like we can sense our way there or use our intuition or inner moral compass to find our way to the life that we're supposed to live or find our way to God. We assume that we can kind of get there. I think Christians too think that way, that somehow God is going to, in some ethereal, abstract way, kind of tap into our minds and guide us, or at least he's going to step in and tell us when we've made a wrong turn. Unfortunately, I'm not quite sure that's exactly how God works. During Advent, we've been talking about the ways that God reveals himself to us, the way he shows us who he is and how we are called to live. And we've seen that he does it in some very specific ways. It's not usually abstract or ethereal. It's very specific ways. We said that God speaks. And he spoke in a very clear way to Moses. And he speaks through us, through his scriptures, and through Jesus. And we said that God acts. And we can see God and know God through his actions. And we saw that as God liberated the people from Israel through the plagues, or liberated the people from Egypt through the plagues and through the parting of the Red Sea. We see God in very specific ways. And this morning, we see that our God is a God who leads as well. Our God is a God who leads. But the key for today is not whether God leads, if God leads or not, but how God leads. That's the question that I think we really have to ask and answer together, is how does God lead us? And so this morning we're going to look at three ways that I see God leading us, and then ask maybe a more important question, or just as important of a question, how do we follow? And if God leads in these ways, how do we follow him through those means? So first, how God leads. And the first way I think we see God leading in Exodus 13 is through signs, through a visible, clear picture of his presence. It says, "The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light." God chose this very visible and clear method of leading these Israelites. What's important for us to know, though, is that these are some very special circumstances that Israel is in here. This is an immature people. They are very new at following God, at trusting God, at knowing who God is. And I think that's one of the reasons that God chooses such a clear and direct way to lead them through the sign of the cloud and the pillar of fire. When I was in third grade, going into third grade, my family had just moved. I was going to be going to a new school, and I was going to be walking to school. And my elementary school was about a mile from our house, uphill both ways, of course, as you can all tell Leah later on, or I'll tell her later on. And a few days before school started, my mom took me aside, and she said, we're gonna go walk to the school together. Because I was young, I hadn't traveled much on my own. She didn't just tell me where I was going to go. She said, we're going to do it together. And we walked that mile there and the mile back, and she was right by my side, a very physical, obvious, visible presence. And I knew she wasn't going to be there just like that every day. But it was at the beginning that she had to do it in such a clear way. And I think that's what God is doing here with the Israelites. They don't really know how to follow him yet. And so he gives them this cloud and the fire. So there's no mistake about where they are going and how God is leading them. I think God still does use signs, things in the world around us, visible and clear things in the world around us to lead us. He might open a door or give us an opportunity where we can go and serve him. Or maybe he's going to close the door to make that decision easier for us. Or maybe he's going to bring people into our lives who are clearly sent by God to help us and to guide us. But signs are not the only way that God leads. The second way I think we see God leading the people in Exodus is through his word, through the scriptures. In Exodus 19 through 31, actually Exodus 19 through the rest of the Exodus, the book of Exodus, is God instructing the people through his word, showing them through the scriptures how he is going to lead them in a new place. As Israel's situation changes, God's leadership changes as well. Because God knows he's not going to be leading them through a desert geographically forever. Eventually they're going to get to the promised land. And so he needs a new way of leading them within this promised land. And he chooses to do that through his word, by giving them a picture of this community that they're going to have. And he's telling them in the law, in this instruction, that even though you're going to be in this new place and you're not going to be traveling all over the place, I am still your leader. I am still your king. You still need to follow me if you're going to flourish and live well in your new home. So God leads by signs. He leads by his word. And the third way that God leads, and his definitive way of leading, I think, and this is directly relevant to Advent, is through a person, through Jesus, by example. Now, as I thought about this idea of the signs and the word and Jesus, I came to this kind of cool realization that God actually leads by signs and the word in the Christmas story. The wise men, how do they find the baby Jesus? Well, first of all, they follow that star, a sign in the sky that they said, okay, we see that this is a sign from God, we're going to follow this star. And then they get to Jerusalem and they say, where is this baby going to be born? And what happens? They open up the scriptures and they're pointed to Bethlehem. And so they follow the signs and they follow the word, and eventually they find Jesus. And Jesus, if we continue on in his story, what does he constantly tell people around him? He says, follow me. You know, leave whatever you're doing and follow me, a person. In John, Jesus tells his disciples, you trust in God, trust also in me. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's in John 14. In Hebrews, we saw that Jesus is the image, the picture of God's glory. He is the exact imprint of God's very being. God is leading us through Jesus. In essence, Jesus is the cloud and the pillar of fire. Jesus is the law, all in human form. And so if we want to be led by God, what God is telling us is look at Jesus and follow him. So all of these are ways that we see in the scriptures that God is leading us and has led his people. Through signs and through his word and through a person, Jesus. And I think that we get lost, or we're going to be prone to get lost, if we decide to just rely on one or two of those ways. He wants to use all of these methods in leading us today. So we've asked, how does God lead us? Now the question becomes, how then do we follow? And I think in answering this question, we have to work backwards a little bit. Because the first way that we follow, and the first thing that God is calling us to, is to an encounter with that person. Encountering Jesus, actively trusting in Jesus, is how we follow God. Why should we trust Jesus? Because of what he's done for us, because he's spoken to us, because of what he's done. The Israelites could trust God. They could trust Yahweh as their leader because they had seen him deliver them and free them from slavery in Egypt. And all the more, we're able to trust Jesus because Jesus has delivered us out of slavery, freed us from slavery to sin. And on top of that, he did it in a sacrificial way, by sacrificing himself. We should have no doubt when we look at Jesus that he is in it for our best interest, that he loves us. So we can trust him. We can trust him to follow him. Jesus, as Hebrews 1 says, is God's definitive revelation. And when he comes, he doesn't just say, hey, do what God said. He says, come, follow me. Listen to me. God leads us relationally, not just with a list of rules. He leads us by himself, by his own presence. And so by encountering Jesus, that is how we enter into relationship with God and follow. That's the first step to following, is by encountering Jesus, God's final revelation. But second, we examine. We follow by examining. God is using his word to guide us and to lead us. And so we examine the scriptures. What I want to make clear about examining the scriptures, though, is it's not an impersonal thing. This is not, we don't look at the Bible and find a list of rules for how to live. The Bible is a relational book more than it's a behavioral book. Okay? So when we are examining the scriptures, what we find is a story that leads us to Christ, to an encounter with Christ. So examining even leads to encounter. The scriptures lead us to Christ, they show us Christ, they help us to live life in relationship with Jesus. As Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's like the word is a person, dwelling in us, alive in us. And so as we examine the scriptures, yes, we figure out how to live and what we should do. But more importantly, the scriptures lead us to the person who is able to live that life in us, to make it possible for us to live that life, who frees us to live the life we were created to live. So we follow God by encountering Jesus, actively trusting him, by examining his word, letting it dwell and fill us. And third, we follow God's lead by observing. Because God does, I think, still lead through external signs, things in the world around us. We observe thoughtfully, silently, watching and listening for God. Now, I think it's important to talk about signs a little more because I think for too many of us, signs are like the quick fix. We don't really want to take the time to encounter Jesus and see what he's all about or examine the word. And so we just kind of look around us and clamor for signs about where God's leading us and assume that God is just going to put things in our lives that show us what he wants us to do. The problem with just looking for signs without encountering and without examining is that we're pretty likely to just look around us and see what we want to see. Like if I open up my refrigerator door when I'm looking for something to eat, what's going to catch my eye? Probably the leftover chocolate cake on the top shelf, right? Before I look at anything else, before I get to the fruit drawer, let alone the healthy stuff everywhere else, my eye is going to get caught by that chocolate cake on the top shelf. That doesn't mean it's a sign that this is what I'm supposed to eat, right? Maybe. All right. Some of us, exactly my point. A lot of us think signs, God's signs to us, are merely what catches our eye, what's shiny. Okay, that's not what we mean when we say God leads us by signs. Signs are not substitutes for examining the Word and encountering Jesus. They are supplements to those things. God uses signs as part of lives that are encountering Jesus and examining his word. I think in many ways, following signs is harder than those other two because it requires being quiet and having patience and using wisdom and discernment to figure out what God is really doing. I struggle to follow God's leading through signs because a lot of times I just don't want to quiet my life and stop and be thoughtful about the world around me. If we want to follow signs, we have to be thoughtful. Be quiet. Looking for where God is moving and working and drawing us in. And only if we are encountering Jesus and examining His Word will we know what to look for. Will we know the kinds of things that God does. It's only through encountering Jesus and examining His Word that we know to look for things that are bringing hope and peace. Places where God is liberating people. Where He is forgiving, where forgiveness is needed. Places where we can sacrifice for others' good out of love. Places where reconciliation is going on. The Scriptures tell us what to look for. And now we just have to quiet our lives enough to look around and see where God is doing those things. Our God is a God who leads. He leads by His Word. He leads by signs. And He leads by a person, by Jesus. And we often go astray because we do not recognize how God is leading us or how we're supposed to follow. During this Advent season, we want to take full advantage of how God is leading us, how God is showing Himself through us, showing Himself to us through all of these things. We encounter Jesus in the Advent season. We examine His Word. And we look thoughtfully around us for what God is already doing. God is leading us through signs, through the Scriptures, and through Jesus. And the question for this week is, are you following? Let's pray. Loving and wise God, You are showing Yourself to us, helping us to know You in so many ways as You speak to us, as You act around us, and as You lead us. God, I pray that we would not just rely on our own assumptions or senses or feelings or intuition to follow You, but that we would encounter You, that we would examine the Scriptures that You've given us, and that we would be quiet enough to see what You're doing around us and how we can join in. Lord God, through all of these things, I pray that You would bless us as we come to know You more, as we are better able to follow You, as we live this life in Your kingdom. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.